Hey, Happy New Year, Jeff.
Hey, Happy New Year to you as well. How are you doing?
Pretty good, thanks.
Excellent.
For inquiring. So I guess you have gone into the wild.
Yes.
And returned now to civilization.
That is correct. Yeah, we did survive the trip. It was quite an adventure. But before we kind of get into that whole epic journey, it'd be good to have a drink in hand.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. In fact, I do have a drink in hand. I'm having a little brandy once again.
Uh-huh. I hear you got a new set of snifters for Christmas, so I assume you must be using.
Yes. Actual, honest to goodness, proper snifters, so I can stick my nose down in there, get a nice good whiff of this Hennessy cognac.
Excellent. Well, just make sure that you don't fill it up all the way to the rim, or else you'll drown.
What about you?
Well, you know, the holidays kind of cleaned me out, as it were, or cleaned out our already somewhat barren liquor cabinet. So I have a bottle of bourbon, which was kind of the only thing that I've been able to afford to buy in the new year. Actually, my dear wife, Day, picked it up for me just today. So it's a freshie, as they say in the business. Yeah. So I'm going to just pour some of that in this glass, and then, you know, because it's not the highest of quality bourbons, I am going to add just a small quantity of Diet Coke.
Ah, classic.
So this is hardly an original drink, but then I think you've had a brandy before, so I guess we're already treading into the past.
Well, in a sense, but last time when I had brandy, I was actually having Army Man.
Aha.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha. There's some kind of strange clicking noise going on.
Really?
Well, it sounds like to me. It sounds like possibly. I'm not sure if it's...
You mean a buzzing?
I don't know. I think it's on the line.
Well, I'm just wondering if you're hearing... I just stepped outside, and I'm kind of under the streetlight.
You're very hard to hear. You're faint, as it were.
I'm faint. Well,
yeah.
Can you hear me better now?
Somewhat, yeah.
Well, technical difficulties.
Yeah, well...
About.
You know, anybody listening to this may have the same experience, but then, you know, it's really somewhat appropriate because both in terms of space and probably time, by the time anyone bothers to listen to this, you know, people are removed from you. It's kind of a miracle that they can hear you at all.
Well, speaking of technical things, today we exchanged a couple of emails about this Blip.fm web service thing. And I've heard people describe it as kind of like Twitter.
Yeah, I'm not understanding a word you're saying, actually.
You can't hear.
I'm hearing some kind of like... I think I heard the word Twitter.
Well, hold on a second here.
There you are.
Aha. Well, I twisted the little section where the wire connects this headphones to the phone thing. So you can hear me
better? There you go. Yep. You sound great.
And freaking fantastic. Well,
yeah.
So we exchanged a couple emails today about this Blip.fm web service, and heard people describe it actually as kind of like Twitter for music.
Yeah.
And I fiddled around it a bit myself, and I got to say, I'm not really seeing what the hype is all about, but that is often the case with these social media stuff. They have what somebody described, Ricardo guy actually describes it, the opaque value problem. But you can't really see the value from outside. It's opaque. You can only see the value once you actually participate, and it's social.
Yeah, twist your cord again.
How's that?
That sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear any of that?
You were saying something about how there's a case value question something?
The opaque value problem.
Face value.
Opaque.
Opaque. Ah, yeah.
Yes, opaque value problem is that the value of these social networks, social network service, is opaque, and you can't see it from the outside. In other words, you have to be participating, you have to be engaged socially in order to see the value.
Right. Exactly.
And
yeah. You know,
I haven't really been. I mean, I get people occasionally. Posting up through Twitter that they just blipped a song on Blip FM, and I'm really find it kind of strange.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been thinking about this stuff a lot because my employer, strangely enough, has been encouraging us to embrace Twittering and other such forms of microblogging and blogging and other social media to try to, much as anything, sort of amplify the web traffic on our website. And I think it's wise that the newspaper is looking at this and trying to get us to figure out new ways to reach out to new readers and whatnot. But, I have to say that even Twitter, and I know that there's millions of people using this site, it basically forces you to adopt an approach of socializing and particularly if you're trying to say anything substantive, you're forced into 160 characters, 140 characters.
140.
What can be said of substance in that space? You can basically tell somebody a little kind of bit of headline news and maybe link them to that. And beyond that, I'm not sure that there's not seeing the value myself. But then maybe I'm just getting old.
No, you're not getting old at
What's
all.
Your thing?
No. Jay, you are not getting old at all. You alone amongst people are not aging. But, no, I thought I would just point out that Twitter is often kind of cited as an example of a social network service that looks absolutely silly to the outsider.
Uh-huh.
Often makes people despair of what is civilization coming to, because they see all these messages flying around. They seem so freaking trivial.
Yeah.
And so forth. But you aren't completely an outsider. You have participated. You've gotten your feet wet with
mm-hmm.
Twitter, and clearly it's not for everybody. But part of the charm, I think, and the appeal of Twitter is that it is not substantive; that it can be ignored. So you never have to feel guilty about not paying attention, not keeping up with Twitter. At least you shouldn't. If it comes to that, I think something has gone horribly wrong. If Twitter has malfunctioned.
I heard what you said, but you are disappearing into the distance again as we speak.
Goodness, I wonder if this old wire is just old or something.
It sounds like we may not be getting old, but our wires are. Or our wiring. It's kind of ironic because on the one hand, I have this, there are all these conflicting things that come up around social media to me because on the one hand, professionally, both as by the expectations of my employer and frankly also, just looking toward the future of being a journalist in the post-print age, I know that I need to keep myself abreast of all of the current things that are happening because eventually, whether or not Twitter remains a paradigm in our culture, something new is going to take hold probably in just the same way that the World Wide Web took hold, 10, 15 years ago now. and transformed the way that people view communication. And what's interesting is that now I find myself in this strange position socially of talking to certain friends and relatives. As a matter of fact, just today, one of my relatives who will go unnamed, other than to say that she's not exactly, atechnological. As a matter of fact, she is a professor at Harvard, so she's pretty much expected to keep abreast of everything that's going on. She was bemoaning my request that that my family join Facebook. And I had a fairly specific reason why I was hoping that everybody would. I wanted to share some photo libraries that seem, you know, I've found that the Facebook photo library system is much more elegant for my needs than Flickr or other websites. So I wanted to encourage people to do that. And yet she was saying, you know, she was afraid that that if she joined Facebook, it would completely take over her life and she would never have time to work. She would never be productive at work again. Well, you know, while that might be a concern to keep in mind, you know, there were a lot of people I remember saying, you know, 15 years ago, I don't want email. It seems like such a ridiculous way to communicate. It's going to take over my life. I've seen what it's done to some of my friends, and I'm not going to do it. Well, you know, how do you survive professionally, let alone personally, in this day and age, and maintain the contacts with people who matter to you if you don't have email? And I think that some of these sites are going to prove to be the same way over time.
Conversely, I think many people's experience. Can you hear me, by the way?
No.
Okay. Well, conversely, is that any better?
Yeah.
So great. Conversely, I would say that many people's experience of email these days is not that they're managing their email, but that their email is managing them.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a huge stack that they have to deal with, and is really almost the bulk, maybe, of their time each day spent on email. Now, obviously, that doesn't apply to everybody, but to certain professions, certain walks of life. And so maybe those people who were resistant to email earlier were onto something, and if only more people had followed their path, we wouldn't be locked in to this system that is, you know, maybe it makes people more productive, maybe it makes them less productive, but it often feels rather oppressive.
Yeah. I don't actually disagree with you. The thing is, I guess from my perspective, where I stand right now professionally, that more than anything, I guess, is what colors my perception of these things. Because if I don't know anything about blogging or email or you know, increasingly things like Twitter and these other services, I'm fairly useless as a newspaper reporter because, you know, as but one example, you know, as the arts reporter at the Missoulian newspaper, whom I do not speak for when I speak in these podcasts, blah, 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 disclaimer, blah, 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 there was a shift just really about a year ago. Maybe it was going on ever since I started there, but really all of a sudden, promoters stopped sending CDs. I just don't get them in the mail anymore at all in physical form. I now get them all as, you know, secret password protected links on their websites, which makes perfect sense. You know, it saves postage, it saves physical duplication costs of the CD. It really surprises me that this didn't happen long ago. But, you know, for a music writer who decides, I'm not going to do that internet stuff, I'm not going to do email, well, good luck. good luck finding anything to actually write about, much less an audience to write for, because that audience who reads that kind of stuff is very much increasingly online only in terms of their news and media consumption.
Yeah. Well, can you hear me?
Yeah, sort of.
Well, obviously, you're in the communications biz, and so you do have to kind of keep up on communications, but you're also in a sector that's obviously in crisis, or at least that's what I keep hearing. I keep reading newspaper columnists bemoaning the fact that the industry is in crisis, newspapers mm-hmm. in particular. We don't know what we're doing, where we're going, and and from people who work at newspapers, reporters and whatnot, and photographers as well, I keep hearing that y'all are being asked to do everything. You've got to become a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
So you've got to be a blogger and a Twitter person and all this other stuff.
Right. Yeah, some of that is perception, some of that is truth. You know, one of the things that is really ironic to point out to people who look at all of that stuff, or maybe just eye-opening, is that the company that I work for example, Lee Enterprises, this is a company that lost 99% of its stock value last year. It went from, you know, somewhere around $40 to like 30 cents a share. And there are very good reasons why that happened. But strangely enough, the company's, I don't know the exact term for it, but there's sort of basic profit margin before you account for debt, is greater than the profit margin of Exxon. It's still a highly profitable business. The problem is that a few years ago, when there was all this merger stuff happening in the newspaper industry, our company decided to purchase a chain of newspapers called the Pulitzer Papers, and they took on a bunch of debt for that. And now, of course, in this credit crisis, that's coming back to bite them in the ass. You know, I probably shouldn't be speculating too much here on this record of, you know, the fortunes of the company that I work for. But at the same time, you know, I think that a lot of people, there's this perception that newspapers are dead or dying. And, you know, I think that newspapers have done a really lousy job, and I speak about the entire industry as well as our company specifically, have done a lousy job of really embracing the potential in new media. You know, it's amazing to me, and I just sometimes have to bite my lip because I don't want to sound like a know-it-all, when I hear people talking about these kind of ideas that are so new to them about, like, how you can tell a story on the internet where some of it is text and some of it is maybe video or audio or pictures, and those things kind of blend together into one, kind of multimedia storytelling approach.
Yeah, you were doing that a dozen years ago.
I did that in 1995 with this like total stoner thing that I did called Life Following the Dead, which you helped me with a lot. You know, and that was something you and I were talking about. It wasn't even an original idea to us, far from it. You know, there were people who were schooling us in these ideals back then, including Eric Ost and Mike Bone and some other people. To us, I remember feeling like I was just bedazzled by all this information that seemed like I was already way behind what was going on. And yet there's the newspaper industry and a lot of newspaper reporters who are trained in traditional journalism programs, this idea of being a jack of all trades and trying to consider different forms of storytelling in terms of different media is still really new and in some cases really daunting. You know, there are reporters that I know personally who just want nothing to do with blogs and nothing to do with video and other online media. And that just seems, it worries me both for the fortunes of their company and for their personal fortunes, because I think those people are going to risk being left behind in as this transformation goes on.
It does seem, I would say that...
Oh, I don't hear you.
Oh, let me fiddle with this a little bit. And
I think this is so ironic that we're talking about the future of technology when your telephone is so clearly acting up on you.
Yeah, well, again, it's not my telephone. It's just a wire connected to the telephone. What else? Can you hear me?
There's still something going on there.
All right. What
there
if
you
I...
go. There you go.
Yeah, you can hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was going to just observe something. What about investigative journalism? It seems to me that the way that you succeed as a news venue,
mm-hmm.
a news publication, is to supply the best quality information about what's really going on whatever area it is that you cover, you know, a geographic area or a beat of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to know what is going on. And first of all, on a superficial level, what's going on, because I can't literally, you know, see it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see the entire city of New Orleans, for example, myself. I can't be everywhere. So on a superficial level, just what's happening here,
yeah.
there, and everywhere. And then on a more profound level, what's really happening?
Yeah.
You know, what's happening that really matters? What's the salient truth of the day and the month and so forth? As we go forward in time, in every city in the nation, in every city in the world, this is a question that people wake up every morning and ask. And if you can provide the answer to that, it seems to me like you've got a business model. And it seems that a lot of our media sources are really not rising to that anymore. Maybe they do the superficial stuff, but the more profound stuff, the answering what's really going on, sometimes it seems like we fall short.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's true. And... you know, like at risk of dissing the very thing that I am most passionate about, as an arts reporter, the types of substantive journalism that I see missing are much different from what most people would consider investigative reporting. I mean, you know, the investigative reporting of arts journalism is really criticism, or, you know, it's in the same spirit. It's really laying it on the line as to what your interpretation is as you look at the cultural milieu in which something happens. I don't know quite what to say about that, except that under the current paradigm, the thing that matters online and the thing that matters offline for the business success and therefore the long-term viability of these media companies, I'm speaking specifically of newspapers, I guess, is the online, it's clicks. And you don't get any more clicks usually that's a gross oversimplification, but you don't get more clicks to a level consummate of the extra effort expended when you write a really deep investigative series versus writing a gazillion short stories. And I think that has a lot to do with the kind of voodoo of how clicks and interest is counted online. And I think that ultimately, ironically, is still, and it's long been the biggest issue with an online business model is that there's still a lot of voodoo to how to measure, how many people are looking at what you are producing and therefore how much you can charge for advertising. And, you know, it's kind of funny. People are bitching and moaning about the fact that the Boston Globe and I think either the Washington Post or some other newspaper just allowed advertising on the front page of their print publication and acting like this is the end of the world. Well, look at their damn websites, you know. There's advertising splashed all over them, and there's a reason. It's because there's no money coming in from subscribers directly, so it has to be an advertising-driven model. And because it has to be an advertising-driven model, there needs to be some way to measure value of that, and clicks are it. And substance doesn't – so I hope I'm being clear that it just doesn't seem like there's a way to judge – how substance should translate to advertising value. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was trying to recall, I don't know if you can hear me at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was trying to recall what another reporter friend of mine was saying about the newspaper gig these days that It was something very much like what you're talking about. They're not losing money. They're just not the cash cow that they once were.
That's the irony is that it actually literally was a cash cow, and that's why, you know, when people look at what's happening to this business and there's all this talk of how newspapers are, struggling, and there's all these layoffs and all that kind of stuff. The reason for a lot of this is that all of a sudden, it's not just like printing money anymore. Newspapers are actually having to work a lot harder for their money, and I think that you see glimmers of hope in that because as things get more competitive. The much as anything, I can tell you from inside a newspaper, the pressure to produce copy that really captures people's attention and imagination and engenders discussion and all of that, you know, it's never been higher since I started journalism. I mean, literally, when I started full-time professional journalism during the dot-com boom, I was writing for certain magazines, one of which still exists, so I shouldn't name them because they might sue me for libel. But I tell you this, I was getting assignments from this magazine that paid $1 a word where I was literally given a press release and just told to rewrite it. So I would turn out a 1,200-word story for $1,200 that took me like a day. That contrasts to today when, you know, there's attention paid every day to what I do in the newsroom to produce copy, produce stories, and all of that. I don't think that there's enough focus on quality, but I think that the business model pretty much dictates that, unfortunately.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, if people wanted quality, they should pay for... Here's an analogy that I've thought about several times, and I feel like I'm once again dominating the conversation, so I'll just stop after this. But, people pay money to go to movies. They pay dollars directly consummate to their interest in a specific film. And as a result, Hollywood movies, even the worst ones, have long tended to be better, although that's not necessarily always the case anymore, but they've tended to be a lot better than television shows, which people don't pay for individually. At most they pay for a package of cable channels, and at worst, they're just taking it for free over the rabbit ears, and so, you know, it doesn't really, you know, and you get what you pay for. When it's advertiser-supported, what you get is a lot of programming that's mediocre. And when you're paying specifically, I mean, it's the same with the book market versus the, you know, advertising-supported media. You know, books, the standard of excellence is so much higher, generally speaking, at least with major publishers, because if the book sucks, nobody's going to buy it, and the, you know, and people are out money.
That is the bottom line. I've got to tell you, Jay, that we have, here in New Orleans, our local daily paper, the only one that we got, Times-Picayune, has just gone up in price.
Mm-hmm.
And you could argue that it has also decreased in value because they've done things like they reduced the size of the op-ed section on Mondays and stuff like that. So we've decided, though, to maintain our subscription for one very simple reason, and that's that I cannot think of a single better source of daily information of what's going on in this city. There isn't one.
Yeah.
They have really got the corner, they've cornered the market on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that in as we roll into the future, the role of newspapers, ironically, will come back around to a very close approximation of what it was in the first place, which is that, you know, well, it's close and distant. I'm not sure if how it depends on how you look at it. You know, initially, newspapers existed to provide you with a breadth of information that you otherwise pretty much didn't have access to about your local community because and about the world. You know, without the daily newspaper, it used to be that you couldn't find that stuff out. Well, then TV news came along, and so there were other ways to get that information. But it was all about providing readers with information on, you know, the sort of a filter through which to get a sense of the broad picture of the local culture. Well, nowadays, and increasingly in the future, there's so much cacophony of information that's available. You know, when all of your friends are Twittering and all of your friends are on Facebook, you know, telling you how they feel every 5 minutes, there becomes a really important role in culture to be a filter to get to the nut of what really matters. And to cast that into a context that helps to make sense of all this noise. And I think that if newspapers can really embrace that role and get to the heart of what that means, I think they still can exist. And I keep talking about newspapers because I think it's silly of me to talk about other media that I don't know as well, but I think that's true of all media companies generally.
Well, all I can say, Jay, is that must be some really good bourbon you're drinking.
No, it's really bad, but it's got my motor running.
Bad bourbon can do good things.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I'm thinking we should probably wrap this one up.
Yeah.
These are some profound and deep thoughts that are going to probably keep me up tonight.
Right on. Well, you know, if you have any great business models, send them my way, and maybe we'll start one because, you know, our last business venture was such a success that I think we could surely take over the world.
You are funny. All right. Well, I'll talk to you later, man.
All righty. Bye.